Just like the song says, living for the King. It's amazing. You don't always think about where people are at when it comes to the Lord. And I have no idea where the gentleman singing that song was at. You probably all heard of Ronnie James Dio. And it's amazing to hear him sing a Christian song. And it just tells you don't know where a person's heart's at. I don't know where he was when he died at all. We never know. And just because he sang a Christian song doesn't mean he's a Christian. But it does tell you he was thinking about something. He was thinking about more than just nothing. And who knows where his heart was when he finally went home. So, just a little bunny trail. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we're here this morning, Lord, to come and worship you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, as always, for the opportunity to be before you. Lord, we ask that you'd minister to us and speak to us as we read your word. And just help us apply it to our lives to where we can be better people for you. We're your children, and we know that. But we want to live like your children, too. And you can put that in our heart, and you can send your Holy Spirit to touch each and every one of us and draw us to where we can live our life successfully for you. We just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a sermon that Jesus did in the Bible called the Sermon on the Mount, is what a lot of people call it. And when you read through it, you know, you walk away going, wow, I can't do most any of that. I mean, it would be very difficult to live exactly the way Jesus wants us to live. But the awesome part is that's why he came to this earth and died for us and paid the price for our sins, because he knew that we couldn't live like that. But it's still a guide as to how he'd like to see us live. But if we fail, we're still forgiven, and that's the awesome part. And at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we have what they call the Beatitudes. And I just want to go through those this morning. I know we got to go through them quick because we don't have a whole lot of time, but we're going to do it anyway. You know, what are the Beatitudes? Well, there's one commentary, I like the way it said it. It says, the Beatitudes are attitudes that should be in our life. In other words, what we read in there, it should apply to our life. And the Beatitudes are God's children's characteristics. Now, I can't word stuff that fancy. You know, that came out of somebody's commentary. But still, you know, basically, the Beatitudes is a blueprint for how we ought to live. So we're going to go through them just real quick. There's eight of them. And we're reading out of the New Living Translation today because it words it a little bit easier to understand than normally. I like the NIV, but today we're in the New Living Translation. And Matthew 5:3, it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, when he's talking about poor here, we're not really talking about money. We're talking about people that are poor in spirit. And, you know, basically it's we realize that we're not where we need to be and we need a Savior. We need God. We need his help. You know, very often, you know, the people, the arrogant people, you know, walking around think they're so cool. You know, you get some Christians that think they're, you know, above everybody else. I ran into that as a kid growing up. I used to be in a church that had a lot of people that they just thought they were holier than thou. And that's not the people that we're talking about here. That's not who God's talking about. And that's, you know, that's between them and God. That's not my deal. But poor in spirit is people that realize their need for God, basically, just like New Living Translation said it there. So that's the first thing. We got to recognize our need. Well, let's read the second beatitude. It says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay, we mourn people. You know, when we lose a loved one, we mourn. Now, we lose a pet, we mourn, which that's all cool. But the mourning we're talking about here is the way this one commentator put it. He says, only when we are truly sorrowful for our spiritual bankruptcy can the grace of God be introduced into the picture. So again, it's recognizing that we need God. And so many of us, you know, if you ever noticed when things go really good in your life, you don't pray as much as when things go bad. I know people that, I don't know if they ever pray when things are good. Now, I hope they do. But it makes you wonder where they're at spiritually. But spiritual bankruptcy, what would that be? When somebody runs out of money, they're bankrupt. Okay? When you run out of, I'll put it different. Okay, if you run out of God, you're bankrupt. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in our life and protects us, watches over us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is our helper. And if you never get plugged in with God, it's kind of like a car with, you know, you fill your car up with gas and you drive it, you run out of gas after a while. Well, if you're not plugged in with God and you never talk to Him, you're going to run out of gas there too. So we need to make sure we stay plugged in with Him. The third one, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. I mean, every one of these, God blesses. I mean, if we want God's favor in our life, we need to apply these things. And here, you know, God blesses those who are humble. Being humble is not being a wimp. You know, a lot of people mistake being a wimp for being humble. And you watch some of the old movies that they used to make. They always show Jesus walking around. I don't think that's how He was. I think He stood tall. Now, He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't wimpy. What He was modest. There is the big difference. You can know who you are, and you can know you're good at it, but you can be modest about it. Hey, it's no different than being a number one motocrosser. You can be a number one motocrosser and be a real jerk, pardon my French, or you can be a number one motocrosser and be modest about it, and everybody loves you. That's kind of the same kind of thing. So we need to be humble. God says He blesses us if we're humble. We're getting a lot of blessings this morning, man. If I get all them, I'd be walking tall by the end of the day. Let's go to the next one. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Does it bother us when things aren't going right, when things aren't right? I mean, it should. But some of us, we just close our eyes and don't worry about it. Well, the Bible says we should hunger and thirst for justice, and we will be satisfied. So we really need to pay attention. And, you know, you could apply that to our walk in this world. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that shouldn't be. And you can just close your eyes and act like it ain't happening and just walk away from it, or you can try to be an influence. And I think that's kind of the stuff it's talking about here. You can be an influence in this world by the way you live. You can be an influence by voting. I don't know how much our vote counts, but I feel like I need to vote. That way, at least when I complain, I voted at least. That's a lot more than a lot of people do. You know, I used to, there's one church that my mom and dad went to years ago when they were still alive. You know, it's like they were separatists, I guess what you could call them. They rarely got involved in the things around them. Well, how do you influence people if you're not getting involved? You know, and here, you know, this beatitude actually says, you know, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. Then it goes on. The next one, it kind of fits real good with this too. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Okay, so if we find somebody doing wrong, we ought to just slam them and do away with them, right? That's typically how the world sees it. You know, everything is about getting even. Every movie you watch is about getting even. How about being merciful and forgiving? Somebody does you wrong and you go, you know, I don't like that they did this to me, but I can forgive them for it. And that person may not, you know, I've heard people say you can't forgive somebody unless, you know, they forgive you. I'm not sure that's true. I think you can forgive somebody. Now, you don't need to hang out with them. I mean, if somebody does you wrong and consistently messes up and does you wrong, I don't think you got to hang out with them. But you can still still forgive them. You can say, well, they just ain't smart enough to figure out what they ought to be doing. I mean, you can forgive them and walk away. I know people in my past that, you know, it'd be real easy to hold a grudge. But that grudge would just make me miserable. It wouldn't make them miserable. It's easier for me to say, you know what, I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to forgive them for what they did, and we'll just move on. Let's go to the next one. And still, you got to consistently remember, every one of these starts with God bless us, God bless us, God bless. There's a trend there, isn't there? But we're going to keep going. It says, God blesses those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. You ever wonder where God is? No, he just ain't showing up. God just ain't around. Now, he may be testing you. You know, he may just kind of be standing back going, you know, I'll let him just kind of do for himself for a little bit just to see how he does, and he makes sure you come through it. But there might be another reason, too. The reason you may not be hearing from God is your heart pure. Now, every one of us has thoughts probably that we shouldn't have. I mean, the devil's real good at putting that stuff in your head. I mean, you find yourself in the middle of a prayer, and all of a sudden this thought comes, and you're like, where did that come from? And it's the devil. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's not a problem there. It's what you do with it. You got to do away with it. You're like, no, I'm not following through on this. You know, it's kind of like, I can make this jump, maybe, but no, I know I can't make this jump, but I'm going to do it anyway. That would be dumb. You got to know that you can make it before you, I mean, you ought to have a pretty good success rate at least. You don't just do it. And when stuff comes in your head, don't act on it every time. Evaluate it. Okay, I evaluated it. I have a 90% chance success rate I'll make this jump. I'm going to do that one. If I have a 20% chance, I won't. All right, if my head's not pure and I need to make it pure, well, I'm 80% pure or 90% pure. Hey, we're doing good. But if your mind's down in the gutter all the time, watching trash on television and all that stuff, and I'm saying everything on TV is trash, there's a lot of good stuff too. But if you're doing that, and you're off. You know, I don't want to. We got children here. I'm not going to list everything that could be going on in your head. But God kind of stands back after all that too, and says, "Well, I'm going to let you get so messed up where you till you figure out that you're spiritually bankrupt, like it says in the front. And then once you figure that out, and you turn around, come to me for forgiveness, I will forgive you." And when your heart's pure, I'll be there with you, man. I'll be in your corner. I'll be working for you. That's awesome. We got another one. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. In other words, don't stir the pot all the time. God wants peace. Now, there's another scripture. It says, as much as it is up to you, live at peace with everyone. But if you read that and think about it, even the writer, and I can't remember who wrote that, particular scripture right now. But the writer knew you can't live at peace with everybody. It doesn't matter how hard you try. There are some people you just can't live at peace with. But as much as it is up to you, we should live at peace. So we should apply that. And again, we do this. It says God blesses those. Well, we'll read one more. Got the last one here. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, and lie about you, and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. When you do what God wants you to do, there at times is opposition, whether you like it or not. And that opposition, and it seems to be getting worse and worse here in the U.S., but hey, we just need to keep praying. You never know. We can have a spiritual revival at some point and things can get better. But it seems like they're getting stronger and stronger against Christians. They would like to persecute us. They don't want to hear us talking. We're not politically correct. You know, so they really don't like it, and you might get persecuted for it. But it says right there, God blesses those who are persecuted. So you got to remember that. When things start going bad, remember, God's on your side. And he is going to bless you and help you through that. So the last verse I want to read today is verse 12. It says, be happy about it, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So don't worry about persecution. Just remember, God's got my back. That's all you got to remember. God's got me covered. The whole point of the message this morning, if we need to look at the future, for one, not the present. God will bless us when we do things right. And it's not necessarily right. You know, God is the one, I guess we can call him person, the one person that where E counts. Effort matters. It doesn't matter a lot in some things, but with God, effort, all you got to do is make an effort. It's all he's looking for. And he will be there. And, you know, we just read 8 Beatitudes, and every one of them started with God blesses those. I want to be blessed by God because that's what makes my week go better. It makes my day go better. It gives me peace in my heart. When I lay down at night and go to bed and want to sleep and work and all this other junk is just clouding your head and messing you all up, deep down in your heart, you can still have peace and say, you know, but if something should go wrong and if I go to sleep and I don't wake up, I'm going to be with Jesus. That is an awesome place to be. Now, God's advice, be emptied of self to be filled with God. In other words, do it God's way. Don't do it your way. And if we live like this, now, I guarantee your life will be better. So we cannot work our way into heaven. There's no way we can do that. The only way we go to heaven is believing that Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross for us, paid the price for our sins, rose 3 days later, and he's now in heaven preparing a place for us. And if we believe that, we're guaranteed to someday spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. But I know Christians that live really miserable lives. I mean, I know them at work. I know them in our church. I mean, we were just talking about a lady last night, and you know, definitely never going to mention names, but all she ever talks about is the negative. She never talks about the positive. And I know, we know she's a Christian, we know she's saved, but her life here is miserable. Well, if we apply some of these things we just read, I guarantee our life will be better because God will bless us. Isn't that awesome? We serve a God that wants to bless us and take care of us. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I know we got to cut out early today because I got a 2 o'clock meeting in Independence I'm trying to catch. But talk to me. Talk to somebody else that knows Jesus. And they can say a prayer with you. They can explain it better to you if you want to have it explained better. But I guarantee your life will never be the same if you make that step. And we thank Jesus for it. With that, I'd like to close. Our God and Father, we love you. We thank you. You make being your followers to come to you and to know Jesus as easy. Our walk's not always easy. I mean, we get stuff coming at us from all sides. But if we just follow these simple directions that you give us, our life can be so much better. So I ask right now that you touch each person here. Pour out your Holy Spirit on every person. And if there's somebody that's been having a hard time and just needs some encouragement, Father, just lift them up. Because I know if they, you know, if you touch them and lift them up, their day will be better. And if you give them the desire to do some of these things that you pointed out, their weeks and months will be better. We just thank you ever so much, Father. We just love you. We praise you and worship you. Lord, as we get ready to go riding, Father, keep everyone safe. Let everybody have a good time. Do it for your glory. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.